Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, blah, blah, blah. Can I get a mic check, Luke?
I'm Iggy Pop, and this is how I speak. If I were Iggy Pop in the Stooges from Ann Arbor, Michigan, I would talk like this.
Right, here's Jim.
I am also Iggy Pop, and few people know that I was actually in one of the underwhelming Crow sequels.
Oh, Marcus?
I'm Eagles Pop, and I've...
Cheggers plays Pop.
I've got a lust for life, and it's the football ramble, Remini Tremini.
Ribbery
Tribbery at the
Iggy
library.
Pop.
At the library.
Of course that's going on at the library.
Jibremini. Cool.
All right, we are bloody good to go, guys.
I'd quite like to be your dog.
Yes. Eat all of our shirts.
Hang on.
Oh, okay.
Donaldson.
To be fair, that was my fault.
Donald Peterson.
I'll take that one.
You didn't check that I was okay. Right.
I know. There we are.
Don Peterson. He's ready.
That's the goalkeeper. That's the referee checking
Thanks,
the keepers.
Yeah. Count the play.
Referee treffery.
at the library.
Careful. That is a ticking time bomb waiting to go off in this show. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Pat Deck Devonet.
1, 2, 3, 4.
5, 6, 7, 9. Women think I'm tasty, but they're always trying to waste me, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus and Jim's here.
Hello.
Luke's also here.
All right.
And Pete completes the foursome.
Pete does, yes. Pete.
Very good.
Jackie Wilson.
One of the first songs I ever remember. Now, Sepp Blatter likened himself to a mountain goat recently, saying that he keeps on going on and on and on and can't be stopped.
I'm pretty sure you can stop a mountain goat.
Yeah, I wouldn't imagine it'd be that hard.
But he's become self-aware. He essentially knows that everyone wants rid, but he's saying, no, I'm a mountain goat.
If we could sit him way up high on a mountain top where you think he'll never be able to get down, I think we'd all be happy with that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they're not flourishing. They're not having a lovely time on the side of a dam, are they? Like, just kind of clambering around.
Mountain goats aren't flourishing.
They're not mountain goats.
They're hanging on.
Yeah, they're not dam goats. They're mountain goats.
I don't think there is a dam goat. I thought they're just mountain goats that happen to find themselves on a dam.
I've never seen a mountain goat on a dam. And I'm a nature enthusiast.
You're going to get a flood of pictures of goats on dams.
That's bloody hope good, so. Isn't it?
God, yeah. Have you guys never seen a goat on a dam? That's like one of the most iconic pictures next to Pele lifting the World Cup.
I've been living a lie. Yeah. Are there many dams in Hartlepool?
No, we've got two waterfalls, though, High Force and Low Force.
How many goats per dam?
I don't think I've ever seen a goat in Hartlepool.
Yeah. No. at Pete Donaldson. Now, if you could choose an animal or something of the like to be the next FIFA president, what would you go for, Jim?
I was tempted to actually go for pigs, as pigs are known for being very intelligent animals. But they're also known for being very clean animals, and they're not, are they? They roll around in shit.
They don't
and
look
then everyone
clean.
Says that they're clean, which yeah. is not true. And yeah. basically, that's what we've already got. That's the problem people yeah. have already. So
they're clean for their environment.
Yeah.
That I they've mean, chosen themselves.
They can't sweat is the reason they do it.
Can right, you imagine can you imagine a pig sort of wandering into the pig pen that FIFA has turned into because a pig is now running it and just rolling around the shit going, I'm ushering in a new era of transparency. Just covered in shit.
It's a big glass building, isn't it, FIFA House? So do you think that's what they mean by transparency? They're getting this so
well, that was
wrong.
One of the reasons, yeah. wasn't it?
In many ways, it'll be business as usual if a pig took over.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that's why I'm not going for a pig.
Yeah.
And instead, I'm going to go for an ant. Because ants are very organised, aren't
yeah.
they? They
work well
they
together.
They can run an organisation.
Mm.
Can lift many times their body weight as well.
Absolutely, which would be important when the revolution comes.
When they lug all that money around.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Just hiding it all.
Sorry, surplus.
Yeah.
Apologies.
Yeah,
they're a non-profit organisation.
Exactly.
All that green.
An extremely successful non-profit organisation. Luke.
He's gone for an ant.
Yes.
I am going to go for perhaps a slightly cliched animal, but something I think. I mean, listen, there's no time for mucking around at FIFA.
There's no right or wrong answer for this question.
There is a lot of time for all kinds of fun.
Sorry, yeah, they've been mucking around too long.
Yeah,
and now they need a wise old owl to look after them.
Yes.
The thing is, though, owls are actually quite stupid. It's a myth that they're wise.
Well, not wise, you know, of course they're not wise.
Well,
but.
Two points. One, if that's true, then they'll fit in. Two, you don't know the specific owl I've got in
yeah,
mind.
Yeah, have you got, like, not just a species, but a particular yeah, owl yes, that I you know?
He's going for a Disney owl.
Like a damn owl.
Yeah. And they are renowned.
A Disney owl is fine.
Yes.
I know a particular owl who's very, very organised
right.
and doesn't take any shit.
Yes.
Is it Alan Owl?
It is Alan Owl. You've met him, have you? Did you meet him the other week? He will not take any shit. He's also fairly young, so he's got plenty more years in him. And I think he could steady the ship, mm-hmm. provided that the FIFA HQ was changed from a massive transparent building to a dusty old barn.
Mm.
Well, that's me feeling silly.
Yeah, well, Jim, I'll take no pleasure in this, but the joke is on you at that point. That's fine, though. I, for one, am very much looking forward to Pete's answer.
Yes, I am too. Peter.
Giraffe.
Right?
Right.
Any reason, or are we just going
to
leave it there?
I just think the one thing a FIFA boss needs to be able to do is to go into that big room where they keep all the surplus, the money.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the great joy of having a load of money is seeing it all at the same time, which you can't do as a human. So a giraffe could look out over all the riches that they've got. And you know, figure out what to do with it, I suppose.
I wouldn't be completely
averse. They'd
probably
eat a bit of it as well.
I don't think they withdraw all the cash and stuff it in a room.
I wouldn't be completely
yeah, like
averse. I would be completely averse to good. The giraffe, owl, and ant all doing it together.
Yeah.
Different skill sets.
Like a roll down book.
Like a task force.
Yeah. Mm.
Uh-huh. I went for a cockroach.
Okay.
Because, obviously, can they survive a nuclear war and all that kind of stuff? They can certainly survive an awful lot more radiation than human beings. So if it all did kick off, then they'll still be standing.
They'll still be a FIFA.
Yeah, they'll still be FIFA.
Well, if they stopped playing football and started, I don't know,
war.
Amassing nuclear arsenals.
But basically, there'll always be something around to organise a World Cup.
And, right, and the ant can ride on his back.
Cockroach.
Yeah, I mean, if there's only like one ant left,
uh-huh.
maybe the ant's just going to organise all the other animals.
Yeah, because essentially, if you've only got one ant left, there is no point in an ant. Because their strengths lie in their organisation and their society discipline.
So we think.
Yeah, right? True.
But, you know, maybe they'll adapt. They'll have to adapt.
I think Alan Owl's got the points.
Alan Owl.
Alan Owl.
I had some ants in my house.
He'll use them
bloody
wisely.
Annoying.
He'll use them wisely. You had some ants in your house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And a mouse that only stayed for one day, which I took as a bit of a dig.
Yeah.
That is really, really tragic.
A couple more digs coming up in the highlights of the week later.
There we go.
No doubt.
In the Premier League, there were lots of farewells in the last weekend of the Premier League footballing action, including Chris Foy, his last appearance as referee.
So Chris Foy.
Yeah, good news for Chris Hoy, though, isn't it, on Twitter?
Very good news.
Yeah. Yeah. Anymore.
He'll be delighted, yeah.
But Newcastle United stayed up.
Yay.
Oh, look at that. Jonas Gutierrez with an assistant goal that secured the win, Peter.
You got your wish, which was that Newcastle go as close to relegation as possible without being relegated. Although I did notice in the Premier League table, quite hilariously, they actually finished above Sunderland.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. And Aston Villa.
You sort of think, what happened there then?
Yeah.
It's 15th.
Very strange.
Finished above Tim Sherwood, Pete. You happy with that?
Yeah, I love the enemies, really, apart from Pards, innit?
What were you thinking when Anita went through and missed that chance?
Oh, my goodness.
In the most feeble way possible.
I was thinking he still had a better go on goal than Riviere. So he's still a better footballer than Riviere. Still a better striker,
that
anyway.
That was 4-on-1.
I know.
Absolutely insane.
Yeah, but he's a defensive midfielder. He's not really there to do that.
Come on, Pete.
He's not really there to do that, you've got three people around you, give it to one of them.
Yeah. Well,
give
him earlier. Pass to the goalkeeper. Yeah,
don't give it to one of them by literally putting a stamp on the ball and posting it to the goalkeeper to let him know.
I think the goalkeeper had a pretty good reach, and I thought he did very well to grab it. But still, Vernon Anita did not do very well in that situation.
I thought to myself, that's it. That's the moment. West Ham are going to equalise, and then Hull is going to be all to play for.
Mm. But I think it's fair to say on that afternoon, I'm sure I speak for many football fans when I say that we all wanted there to be more drama than there was,
yeah.
And then we realised that West Ham weren't really even trying, and it wasn't as good.
No.
Yeah. Is
there was a bit of a damp squib with the relegation battle.
They didn't want to get any yellow cards. They didn't want to get any yellow cards so they could get into the Europa League, the dream.
Yeah,
they didn't want to try.
They should have... in my view, they should have got 100 yellow cards, so they didn't have to play in it.
I mean, they did okay in the first half, West Ham, but then...
But without ever really doing much.
Was it at half-time, though, if somebody read the West Ham website, which said the club is, you know, departing ways with Sam Allardyce before the 90 minutes had finished?
We can't possibly wait another 45 minutes for that.
Get the new man in now, this is terrible.
Yeah.
It's insane, isn't it? Yeah. I love what old Big Sam said. Well, I didn't want to stay. Didn't want to stay, and I suppose you could say it was mutual if they didn't want me to stay either.
They
fired
you.
To Allardyce, though, he was basically laughing as he said
he was
post-match interview.
He'll be fine.
Yeah. He will be fine.
The thing about Big Sam is he's a manager who is far more likely to get a job around January when some teams really struggling. They fire the manager. Yeah. He'll get snapped up then. He may not get a job before the start of the season, but I could see him getting one certainly around the midway.
He's got 6 or 7 months off.
He always gets very badly treated by clubs, I always find.
Well, he hits the ceiling, doesn't he?
It's almost like he rubs people up the wrong way.
But, as Alan Shearer said on Match of the Day at the weekend, every time he leaves a club, that club tends to go into free fall a little bit. So
he's a big, massive, stabling influence, isn't he? He's clearly someone who revels in running all different parts of the club, and he's a focal point for the club, and it's not a surprise, as Jim rightly says, that when he goes there's almost like a big, not literally but also literally, a big hole to fill.
Mike Ashley gave a rare interview before the game.
He did. He basically said, I'm not going to sell the club until we win something. And I think everyone with a brain can see that means I'm not going to sell the club until its value increases.
Yeah, that's right.
I was just very surprised. Like, you know, people sort of say Cockney Mafia out. I didn't necessarily know he's a Cockney because I'd never heard
you
him
don't
speak.
Hear him, do you?
Never heard him speak. And I was like, going, oh, yeah, he's got quite a broad kind of.
I knew he was a Spurs fan, but that's what I
thought. I would assume that he would have a kind of slight estuary, kind of slightly posher accent than he had. Proper barra boy.
Do you know how it made me feel seeing him speak? It made me feel like when you're a kid and you saw your teacher in the supermarket. And you're like, what are you doing?
It's
here?
So out of context.
What is happening?
It's like when I was a real big fan of The Simpsons before I'd even seen The Simpsons, and I first heard Homer Simpson speak on the Sing the Blues album, and I was very upset. I was like, why have you got Homer Simpson with that ridiculous voice?
How did you imagine him to sound?
I don't know. I just used to love The Simpsons, and I used to buy all the characters and the figures and the baseball cards. But I'd never actually seen it. I didn't have Sky, and so when when I got the Sing the Blues album, I was going, that must be just his singing voice. That's just a bit weird. And then when my dad's mate brought round like a VHS of a load of Sky One recorded Simpsons, I was like, I don't think I can watch this anymore. Homer Simpson's voice. I don't like it.
Have you got used to it now?
I reckon so.
Yeah, okay.
Ashley, when he said that, you know, I'm not going anywhere until we win something, he did put a top four.
Newcastle aren't going to finish in the top four.
So we're going League Cup, really.
Or the Championship trophy. After relegation.
Yeah, do playoffs count? As I said to Pete, what a celebration, though, it would be in Newcastle if they won a trophy.
Because you've got to get rid of
Ashley.
Imagine that. You think, we've got a trophy, so that's always calls for celebration. And we know that Ashley's days are numbered.
But it just seems weird, why he managed to do it. I mean, there was going to be a big crowd, you know, a protest or whatever happened. But was that an attempt to kind of off a little bit? I couldn't figure out. It just seemed a little bit weird.
He played a very sort of faux emotional card, didn't he? As if he's only just realised how bad it's got.
Yeah.
when everyone else has seen this.
Sorry, I was watching Rangers all season. not really been keeping in touch.
No idea that this outpost was faltering so badly. But yeah, I think it's a very cynical move, isn't it? Just to try and give the fans something to look forward to next season, so they don't firebomb his house in the preseason.
He's still got a house in Newcastle.
They can get trains.
He's got a helicopter pad. That's
I was
about
say,
it.
He lives in a helicopter.
Yeah. All roads lead to going away from Newcastle for Mike Ashley, which is really weird. But what I like about the whole situation is that was an attempt to kind of almost curry favour with the fan. Yeah. I don't really know what it was.
Character wasn't having any of it.
Well, because he's never seemed like he's given a shit.
No,
because he doesn't give a shit.
Mm-hmm.
And all is just bullshit. You know, do it or don't do it. Don't just say you're going to do it. It's just put a proper manager in that can manage things.
Yep. a real manager.
Use some of the money that you've taken out of the club to spend on players. You know, it's just little things like that, really, isn't it?
What's really funny about that is, that's such a fair point. Have a manager who is a manager. How has it got this bad?
But for every bad thing that's happened this season, and for every reason for nobody, for people not wanting to re-sign with their season ticket and stuff, Jonas Gutierrez has done more for that football club than Mike Ashley has done in 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Did he blank John Carver with his celebration?
I think he had some points to make, pointing at the Chams box. I think someone picked up the word wanker, which is a very non-South American thing to shout.
Wanker. He said in an interview a few months ago that he said he could never forgive the club.
For how they treated him when they found out that, when he found out that he
exactly,
had...
Exactly, yeah. So one of their best players is probably going to leave, you would read into that.
He's fundamentally not one of our best players, but it's one of those things where he's certainly one of the more loved players.
Yeah. And he deserves to be treated properly as a member
as a human being.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm. No, I think just finishing on Mike Ashley, I think Luke's right. I think that it is just I'm not going anywhere, or Jim, whoever said it, that I'm not going anywhere until the value has increased in this football club. And actually, it was a really sort of sad and almost sinister thing to say for the fans to hear.
Mm. Yeah, but I mean, we'll take it. We'll fucking take it. We'll take the League Cup. We'll take the bloody Inter Toto. Jesus Christ.
Just get it out of the cabinet. That'll do.
You should do it. Go over to China or somewhere for a pre-season tournament.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
Two words for you. Emirates Cup.
There you go. That's the one. Get yourselves into the Emirates Cup and then you're away.
But it was a truly sweet and wonderful moment that warmed everyone's cockles, and there's a lot of grown men having a bit of a tear in their eye.
What, Mike Ashley's interview? of course, where they stayed out. I mean, John Carver, you have to be pleased for Carver in a sense, because that man...
No. You've got to be pleased for all the Newcastle fans.
As in, that man, goodness knows what he would have been doing on the Monday if they'd have got relegated.
The man is a belligerent idiot.
I'm not going anywhere unless they tell me. That's what he said.
There's a guy, I couldn't tell who it was, whether he was a member of staff from the club or a fan of the club. He was getting filmed outside St James's Park, and John Carver drove into shot behind him and started going sort of waving in the background. John, I know you've had a good afternoon today, but maybe keep your fucking head down. You've had a fucking shit.
Under normal circumstances, I could have done a better job, but today makes up for everything.
A normal circumstances that he's better at his job.
Yeah. Oh, but it makes up for everything, Pete, does it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, of course it does. Yeah.
It's been a triumph, hasn't it, really, when you look at it in that context.
I'm sitting here feeling...
He loves the club.
Yeah, I'm sitting here I'm feeling I've just won the cup. Ashley's going, no, John, doesn't count.
I'm not going anywhere.
Is it Martin Tyler who's commentating on the match?
He's certainly a commentator. I can't remember who.
I think it might have been Tyler. He did a lovely... at the time, I thought that's a bit mawkish, and I thought, no.
What did he actually say?
For a goal scored by, a very fitting goal scorer, a man who knows everything about survival,
blah, blah, blah.
It was a little bit mawkish, but on... when I was in the early hours of the morning, when I was a bit drunk, going, yes.
Yeah.
Boo.
Big Keggy Keegs having a dig at Ashes.
I saw this. It's brilliant.
It was really good as well.
How riled
everyone's
up
letting
do
loose.
Does Keegan have to get before he opens his mouth?
It wasn't that good. It was quite confusing what he said.
Of course it was. Keegan having a pop at someone.
It's almost as if Mike Ashley has said, "What is the worst I can do?"
Yeah. I will love it if he sells. I will love it.
But then he also said, it's not difficult to work out unless you come from another planet, and I think Mike Ashley runs the club from another planet. That's the Keegan we know.
Yeah, there you go.
A little boy.
Yeah.
He said something good, and then, of course, he said that. But yes, Newcastle, they've survived, Peter. My goodness. But Hull City haven't.
No.
They didn't as a result, of course. They failed to beat
Manchester
United. Put
in a fairly decent performance compared to a lot of Steve Bruce's performance against that football club.
I think that might be Steve Bruce's first point against Man United as a manager.
No, I think he's. I think 21 games, he's lost 17 against them.
Oh, okay, it's definitely Hull's first point against Man United.
Hull have never won a game in the Premier League game in May, I think.
No, they haven't.
It was one of the sadder belly rubs.
It was.
Actually, that's quite a good stat. I read about Newcastle. Sorry to move back a little bit in time. Newcastle, that's the first.
Taking a lot of treatment all season, Pete.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck you guys. All right? I'm going to be glad of this summer. It was the first time since May 2014 that Newcastle had beaten a team by more than one goal at home.
Wow.
Which is astounding. That's Pardew's record, isn't it? Well, you fuckers. Right? Wait,
3 points is 3 points, isn't it?
Yeah. Pardew's a top 10 manager, mate.
Yeah. Yeah,
interesting, your petty squabbles down the down the cheap seats.
They beat the champions by more than one goal, didn't they?
They did.
Was it 3? Oh, no, it was just 2-1 against Man City. Mm. Sorry, forgive me. Hull, they failed. Oh, Hull City. It was that game against Burnley, wasn't it, really?
Well, the funny thing is about that is that game against Burnley, if Hull had won that, it's a reasonable chance Aston Villa would have been relegated.
Yeah. Mm. That game against Burnley is being that night in
this.
Thought I'd sneak that one in.
Yeah.
It's been flagged.
Yeah.
Citation needed. Look at that.
I thought I'd sneak that one through.
Yeah. They finished 17th, Luke. It's a strong season for Sherwood, isn't it?
Yeah.
That match against Burnley is becoming the new That Night in Istanbul. It's been said a lot on this podcast.
True.
Hull are going to look back at that and go, yeah.
Well, I mean, if you lose at home to Burnley, I mean, the problem with Hull is they just couldn't score goals. I mean, they had a couple of decent results a few weeks ago, but I mean,
they got some bad injuries as well, which they were unlucky with, but also they spent a fair bit of money and some of those players just didn't perform, like Hernandez. He just wasn't up to it.
I mean,
and
his
punch on Phil Jones was quite something.
Yeah, it was.
That's not the sort of performance we're after, really, is it?
Is Hernandez not an absolute shoo-in for the sort of striker that would fail to settle in the Premier League?
Of course.
I know you've got a gamble with you, that sort of club on strikers, but I mean, that was never really going to work.
Well, they're so bad at scoring goals. When they did score a couple, they were disallowed.
Yeah.
You know,
well, they were both, you know, disallowable.
Yeah. It was so annoying. It was disallowed ultimately. But Jamie Redknapp said before the game about Victor Valdes, you know, I put some crosses in there, you know, test him. He won't be used to the Premier League and all this kind of stuff. And I'm thinking, that man won 3 Champions Leagues.
He dealt with a sideways football before.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but then,
and then
of course,
gave an impression of a man who had never seen.
Yeah, exactly.
Before.
I thought bloody Redknapp. He's done me there.
Actually, to be fair, Hull, that moment aside, and you know, it proved to be irrelevant anyway because it was offside. They were quite unlucky to come up against a goalkeeper who had a lot to prove, because he was outstanding otherwise.
He made some
really good saves. I mean, of course, ultimately it was futile, but still.
Yeah, indeed. What about Leicester? They finished the season with aplomb.
Just embarrassed themselves playing it.
Well, not football. No. Just not bothered.
Yeah.
Chris Ramsey's thinking, I've got my contract.
Yeah.
It would have been worse had they not bothered turning up and got the 3-0 defeat.
Yeah.
A couple of big scores this weekend.
Yeah, no, it's great.
Which,
one of the weird things about basically everything apart from one game being settled is that there is that sort of like last day of school feel where everyone's just, you know, some people can't be bothered, others really can be bothered, and then QPR end up getting spanked 5-1 because of it.
But the thing is, you owe it to the travelling support.
Yeah.
Alone.
And your own dignity.
That's right. I mean, look at Burnley. Good win away against Aston Villa, of course. But, I mean, the only consolation coming out of the Queen's Park Rangers camp is that Austin obviously got an England call-up.
Yeah.
He's going to get
a call-up from another club as well.
he won't be playing for them again.
Fair enough. And Vardy as well?
Yeah, that's brilliant for Jamie Vardy.
Both of them.
Non-leaguers. Yeah,
I read a fantastic stat that I think was definitely true going into this game. I'm not sure if it still is. That Vardy had the joint amount of...
Cheeses.
I'm going to have to... Yeah, had the joint amount, most amount of cheeses on his Boxing Day spread.
Presumably.
Put on for his family.
Okay. Leicester would be up there.
Yeah, I can't remember the stats, so move on. It was something about chances created or assists and the only...
Assists.
Yeah, it's not as rude as it sounds. Something like the joint most amount of something good with Eden Hazard, and it surprised me.
Created chances.
So please move on.
Yeah. Tom Heaton got a call up as well for Burnley.
You're following this in, Luke.
I heard the good
You're
stat.
On the beach, mate.
I heard this good stat about
he's doing a QPR.
About about Tom Heaton. He does really good stuff as well. But
yeah. Oh, he's brilliant in Beautiful South.
He's got the most numbers in his statistics.
there we are.
Danny Ings laughed when the interview asked him.
Yeah, he did.
Was his goodbye.
I personally
to the club.
Found that very disrespectful.
Did you?
Yeah, I thought it was a bit of a cheeky one.
But he did. He was looking off camera at someone else, wasn't he? So there might be more to that.
Still disrespectful.
Well, yeah.
What was he like? What was he laughing? Son, ha ha. No fucking dice.
The interviewer said, "Oh, is that when you were waving at the end of the game? Was that a farewell to the fans?" And you'd, what I expected him to say was, "Oh well, who knows? We'll see what happens in the summer. But I've had a great season and I've enjoyed it. Blah blah." But he actually started laughing and went, "Oh well, I think
everyone knows I'm going. Everyone knows I'm a contract.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it wasn't quite. See you later, champs.
So when you talk about relegated Burnley in quotes, can you leave me out of it? Because technically speaking, I will not be there anymore.
Yeah, but is that not a bit of refreshing honesty?
It was disrespectful. If I was a Burnley fan, I would have found it disrespectful, but I enjoyed it, yeah.
I found it refreshingly honest because I have no connection with Burnley at all, but I totally see what Luke's saying.
Okay,
yeah, I would also be pissed off if I was a Burnley fan for loads of reasons, that being one of them.
Mm. Yeah, fair enough. Sunderland they lost 3-1 away to Chelsea. Drogba being carried off after 27 minutes by everybody. That
again, that's that last day of school thing, isn't it?
If
Sunderland
that.
Were still battling for relegation, they wouldn't have done that.
Let's have a game. Let's just play the game.
What was the 30 minute about?
I don't know.
Why the 30th minute? Was he injured? Could he not play? I'm confused.
Yeah, I was a bit.
It's a good job they won the game.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. It was a strange one.
Well, they were 1-0 down at the time, weren't they? And they still didn't seem to care.
Right, okay.
They conceded first, yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, I thought at least half time or just before half time or second half. I don't know. Well, that's what they did.
I hope their celebratory bus broke down. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, big celebrations in London, but that's what happens when you win the league. Stoke City. Whoa.
Wow.
Bloody hellfire. Gerrard scored on his farewell. That's all that happened, wasn't it?
Guys, did you see that goal?
Did you see
what happened to the defenders behind him?
Yeah, we pulled up. The defender pulled up, didn't he?
Defender just stopped.
I think he was
massively.
Injured. It was Mark Maniato. I think he had a hamstring.
Really? I'm not having that. That's disrespectful there. Gerrard, he still took it, I know, but he just stopped.
Do you think there might be some betting markets going frenzied right now?
It's nothing more than just paying respect to a departing, you know, the cricketer departing from the crease.
He's not dying. with Gerrard scoring in that sort of scoreline, in that sort of circumstance, is that more or less embarrassing for him to score?
I think it's more embarrassing.
He looked quite awkward when he scored.
Yeah. Did he not point to the ball as if to say, come on, it's 5-1 now. Yeah. I think he's pointing to the pass.
It's Istanbul all over again.
Yeah.
you guys, my thoughts are well known on this matter, but I'll reiterate them. Liverpool, essentially, I wouldn't say they sabotaged their own season, because they started poorly, and of course it's probably a bit of an overstatement to say that based on one player. But this stat is interesting. And bear in mind that I've held the opinion that they've been too obsessed with Gerrard in this last season for far too long, as you know. Mm-hmm. This stat is interesting. Since January the 1st, Liverpool's win percentage with Steven Gerrard in the team is 33.3%, 5 games out of 15. Without him, it's 60%, 9 games out of 14. So Liverpool are a better side in the second half of the season without Steven Gerrard.
Mm.
And the crucial games they've fell short on, the league games when they're in their quest for fourth place, and of course the semi-final of the FA Cup, he's not performed. He's not been good enough.
No.
But they've been wedded to this idea that they've had to play him.
Well, because
Services legacy.
Yeah, well, the thing with Gerrard, though, is he's made his name on pulling it out of the bag, hasn't he, at really, really big moments, and they've been expecting that. And now, naturally, because he's getting older, and, you know, he's not as quick as he was, and generally he's not the player he used to be, that just hasn't happened. And they've been, you know, yeah, he got the winner against QPR. Of course it is, yeah. I'm not saying that. I think you're right, you're absolutely right, but I think that's why that has happened. There's maybe been some blinkering going on at Liverpool, but it's not just Gerrard as well. Like, the Mignolet for that second goal, I don't know, he seemed to escape criticism for that. He properly flapped at it, and it really came from distance. And Chan as well
hit,
for
though.
The... Yeah, but still...
He wasn't brilliant for the first either. Parried it. It wasn't a firm parry either.
No, and then the mix-up with Chan as well.
I think you're looking at the one game. I think what Luke's saying is...
I think these incidents are symptomatic of the problems they've had. Chan's had a good season, but, you know, otherwise, the signings they've brought in... But one's really set the world alight.
I'm sure we're going to go and talk about Rodgers in a second, about his job and that sort of stuff. Do you think that there's enough around the politics at Liverpool to feel a little bit sorry for Rodgers, because having said what I've just said, if he did drop Gerrard not playing for the whole second half of the season, he'd be criticised heavily.
Of course,
for that,
yeah, but the thing is, it's not just that, is it? It's lost Suarez, as we've heard about so many times from the club, which is, they've been talking about last season up to right at the end of this season, which is not healthy. They've not had Sturridge, as we've been all over. There's the Raheem Sterling saga. There's Gerrard's saga as well, with him leaving. It's been an absolute soap opera for Rodgers to deal with. So, as well as, you know, things being difficult on the pitch, there's been so many other things to deal with, and it's been an absolute nightmare for him.
Do you think Rodgers should have another year?
It's tough to say, isn't it? I mean,
I think it'd be silly to get rid of him.
The thing is that he spent a lot of money very badly. So the
would you give him more?
He was also very smug around spending all that money. When someone compared it to when Spurs sold Bale, he was like, "Oh no, come on, we've thought about this a lot more deeply." And then they ended up finishing lower than Spurs, which is a little bit of a.
I still think if they got rid of him now,
I would defend him as far as the options he had around this Gerrard saga are play him, which he's done, and it's not worked. Not play him, which they've got a lot of criticism, or essentially played him a bit and said he's not good enough, we can't play him, and they got criticism for that as well. But it's interesting how,
I mean, if you bring him on as a sub, like against Manchester United, doesn't end very well.
No, exactly. He got sent out. But if you listen to what John Terry said after they finished the last game of the season, he was interviewed by Gary Neville on the pitch, but for Sky Sports, and John Terry actually said at the beginning of the season, Mourinho sort of called him over and said, "If you train well and you play well, I'll pick you. Other than that, there's nothing more to say. You know, you have to train well, you have to perform, and I'll pick you." I wonder if Rodgers had the wherewithal and the political clout to be able to say that to Gerrard.
I just wonder
about that.
They've moved him on, so I mean, you know, Gerrard probably would have wanted to stay for another season.
It's absolutely the right time for Gerrard to go, isn't it? Liverpool.
Well, he didn't cover himself in glory the last few matches of the season.
Possibly a year too late. He did score though in a few of them.
But let's not forget Stoke in all this.
Yeah, of course.
Wonderful season under old Marky Hughes. Some lovely goals they scored. Yeah. That was their biggest ever Premier League win.
Yeah, and Liverpool's
worst.
What
a finish.
And also, I think this is right. Just going back to Rodgers briefly, because this stat is interesting. I think he's the first manager to get to three seasons and not win a trophy in charge of Liverpool since the 50s.
That's right, yeah, that is correct.
Absolutely huge.
Stoke finished ninth with 54 points. Peter Crouch with his 46th Premier League header, equalling Alan Shearer's record for headed goals in the Premier League.
Didn't he surpass it?
I think he surpassed it. The thing that Hughes deserves credit for is not only bringing in Bojan, or Bojan, what do we call him now? Bojan?
Yeah, it's Bojan is what he's called, isn't he? I always thought it was Bojan.
It's like when Jenis...
Kerchich. It's like when Kerchich.
It's like when Jenis changed to Genus. Without telling anyone.
Andrew Cole.
Lampard Jr. He brought him in for... Did he bring him in for £800,000? Which is a brilliant bit of business. Yeah. And then not only was he good, that then he became injured and was out for the rest of the season, and they still managed to swallow well without him. And I think Hughes deserves a maximum amount of credit for that. With the exception of that dodgy time he had at QPR, which we all know is an absolute nightmare of a club.
And Man City was difficult for him.
He's done pretty well overall.
He is. No, he's a good manager. He's a very solid manager.
Exactly. And I wonder if he's just coming into his own now as a manager. I wonder if they'll improve even further next season. The problem is, for a club like Stoke, it's very hard to improve on that.
True. Frank Lampard, he bowed out with a goal. And Man City beat Southampton 2-0. 2-0. Most goals by a midfielder in the Premier, 177. I'm going to miss old Frankie.
I am.
Because I'd kind of thought to myself, Gerrard is going. And obviously we'll miss him as well. But Lampard, that he was going, and then he came back a little bit.
What I'm going to miss is him being at Man City. I think he should just do a tour of the Premier League. Because, you know, apparently he doesn't have to play for New York City. That's all very confusing.
They've got Dubai as well. Isn't there another club that they sort of squiz around?
They've got
in Australia.
Melbourne
as well?
I think David Villa turned up there and just went, nah.
It's hard to see that 177 goals for a midfield player being beaten.
Incredible.
But then I didn't think that the Alan Shearer 260 goals would be beaten, but Rooney might do it.
Or the Robbie Fowler speed of hat-trick.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, these things are there to be shot at.
But then could Harry Kane beat them? The Alan Shearer record.
I think that's unlikely. I mean, I don't want to take it. Listen, you framed it in a way that I'm going to have to criticise Harry Kane after the season he's had, which I don't want to do.
This could be a Steve Bruce 17 goals in a season kind of job.
Is that right?
I think so. I don't think he'll score as many goals.
Steve Bruce is a centre back, though.
That's what I mean. So it was a surprise. I think everyone was surprised by Harry Kane's
score. I'm taking you on there without any knowledge, without any references in front of me. I'm sure that Steve Bruce got 19.
I thought it was 19 as well. Yeah. But I think, Pete, I think you're right. I don't think Kane will get this many goals again.
I don't know.
I think it might be Heskey's. Remember when Heskey scored all those goals to Liverpool, and then he just, you know, he was a big old drop off from there.
He scores a lot of different types of goals as Kane.
Yeah, I think, but we'll see.
I agree with Marcus. It's 2v2.
Yeah,
right.
Well, so it's only Harry Kane that can win this, isn't it?
So. Yeah, no, if Harry Kane scores loads again, I will be right. And that is a victory.
Top scorer by March.
Can anyone really, truly bring themselves to care one iota about Everton nil Spurs 1, though? I can't.
Spurs finished 5th and qualified for the Europa League again, mate.
Yeah, great. Uh-huh. Good for
them. Tried not to.
I like it.
Clearly trying not to.
It's got to the point now of the Europa League. Uh-huh. I'm sure I read that St Johnstone have qualified for the Europa League. No disrespect to them, but they are not a European powerhouse.
Put it out of its misery.
I think it's going to happen.
Well, neither Dnipro in there in the final.
Yeah, true. Yeah. I think
that's the good side of it, though, isn't it? It gives these teams a shot at something.
Dnipro have done so well.
St Johnstone aren't going to get the final.
No, but Dnipro have done so well. They've had to play their home games in Kiev, 250 kilometres away from their home stadium because of the unrest in that country.
Oh, right.
So they've done even better than people think.
Yeah.
And also the final, which is on Wednesday night, I think is in Warsaw, one of the stadiums they use for Euro 2012.
That's right.
Which could be more of a home game for them than Sevilla. So you never know, they might do something in the final. They could even win it.
Sevilla do love that competition, though.
If they win it, would they have won it 4 times in 10 years?
I'm not sure. They won it last time around, I think.
That's incredible, isn't it?
Basically, if they win it, they'll go into the Champions League, which is, again, detrimental to the Europa League, because they're one of the few good teams who take
it
serious.
Well, they might drop back into it.
Yeah, possibly.
But they'll win it again. Nonsense of the Europa League.
People asking managers a fair question in, do you want Europa League football, just shows how piss poor the organisation around that tournament is.
That said,
And it wouldn't be a step backwards if they brought back the UEFA Cup and the Cup Winners' Cup, or at least one of those tournaments.
I do remember a listener, I forget who, on our very own forum, saying when we were talking about this exact thing before about how stupid it is that the Champions League teams then drop into the Europa League. He was saying, like, that's actually brilliant for the smaller teams because they might get a Milan or whoever that drops down. And so a lot of the fans of the teams playing in the Europa League regularly do actually enjoy it. I think maybe we have a slightly blinkered view and we think that everyone thinks it's terrible, but maybe that isn't the case.
Well,
my prediction for the Europa League is that teams are now, and you might see this start with Spurs next season perhaps, or maybe Liverpool, teams are now going to just start sending, they're just going to start registering a group of players for that tournament, and it's going to be mostly youth players. And
well, Spurs have done that in the past, isn't it? Harry Kane genuinely cut his teeth in the Europa League, like long before this season.
It was this season he scored.
No, but even before that, he was like their Europa League striker,
and he used it as like a vehicle to force his way into their Premier League side, didn't he? Basically, this season. But but my point is that essentially you're not. The reason it was set up clearly is because they can milk more money out of it. But if the big clubs are starting to essentially play reserve teams or youth teams in it, it's not going to have to draw anyway.
But it's a detriment to their actual everyone's league game, really, because people don't want to, you know, find themselves in fifth or sixth position.
Why don't they just make the Champions League twice as big?
That would be the answer. Crystal Palace, they beat Swansea. Pard's first words in his interview were, first, I'd like to congratulate Newcastle. Pete, did you appreciate that?
I think they should.
Which essentially means he's congratulating himself because he won the lion's share of the points.
I don't want anyone to forget that I've also kept Newcastle in the Premier League.
Yeah, and steered Palace to a top 10 finish.
Is Alan Pardew the first manager to make two teams safe from relegation in one season?
I think so.
How did he make it? Come on now.
Do the sums.
How many points did he get for Newcastle?
Do the sums.
Hang on. How many matches are in the Barclays Premier League? Thank you very much.
35.
Right, so we got 35 points for Newcastle. Yeah. Now, I'm not suggesting that if John
Carver... 35 points enough to stay up?
Nearly.
Depends. It could have been on goal difference.
Yeah.
Well, so, it doesn't matter.
Carver only got 4 points.
And
they're
terrible goal difference.
Pete.
Did Carver only get 4 points?
He got
2 wins and a draw.
He got two wins?
Marcus.
All right, fair enough.
I may be wrong, but I think the listeners want to hear me cross-examine Pete.
He got 32 points.
No, he got
then.
Two draws, didn't he? Because he drew with Palace, and then you drew a game recently.
I don't think he got 2 wins.
No, he did. He got 2 wins because we beat.
None of this matters because Alan Pardew got 35 points for Newcastle this season. Is that right?
Right, yeah.
Well, we're not sure. Maybe.
Okay, 30.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Well, it doesn't matter. The details at this point do not matter. Right, I'm not saying that John Carver would have got no points if he managed for the whole season.
Right.
But you have to concede, that if John Carver was managing for the whole season, Newcastle would have been relegated.
Paxman.
Yes. Yeah, well, but that's like saying by removing a terrible manager and putting nothing in, it's a power vacuum ensues and everyone goes mental.
Yeah. What's your point?
What's your point?
My point is that Alan Pardew got the points to keep them in the Premier League.
No, they didn't. No, he didn't. He got 35 points. So that's 32. Not enough to keep us up. How many?
32. Is that, he got less than...
He got less than... Yeah, right. So he didn't.
Yes, but Pete, he didn't have 38 games, did he?
No, exactly. Yeah, he didn't have all...
What? The last season, we didn't get any points in fucking May or April, as I recall.
Did you get really good that season?
Very closely.
That's not why I asked.
We ended,
my question wasn't
we ended a league place higher this time round than we did two seasons ago.
Thanks to Alan Pardew's points.
Arsenal. We seem to Arsenal beat West Brom 4-1, didn't
they? It's nonsense. I just think I'm correct. So, and I'm not usually correct.
Can I just agree with Pete on one thing?
Go on.
I definitely believe that he thinks he's correct.
There we go. Wenger got all of Arsenal's points this season.
Big Wenger and the Gun-Guns.
Super Theo.
Yeah,
the
Super
O.
Super Theo with a hat-trick.
Yeah. Can I use a tabloid cliche just for fun and say he's genuinely given Arsene Wenger an FA Cup selection headache?
Yeah, no, it was a fantastic performance from Walcott.
What a first goal.
What a finish from Wilshere as well.
That was a great goal.
Was that voted goal of the season, I must say?
But because they put it to Twitter and Arsenal have a huge support. So
and also, it just happened, and people are much better at remembering things that have just happened.
Walcott's first goal was an absolutely fantastic finish. I mean, we were talking on the show the other week, like, we haven't seen the true Walcott since he's come back from his injury, and those sort of finishes and that kind of game is exactly that. And personally, I would like to see Walcott start the FA Cup because Giroud, he hasn't scored in ages. And
play them both.
I mean,
for me,
Giroud's actually really effective off the bench anyway, so that might be a sort of ace up our sleeves.
I would agree with that, and I think that in an FA Cup, you look at the defenders that Villa have got, especially at centre back, and you think, what does Walcott bring? He brings a blistering pace, and it's not even the fact that he may hammer them with pace. It's the fact that they know he might do that,
and that
opens up a lot of space for
they can't play a high line.
No, exactly, but it opens up a lot of and it opens up a lot of space for all those little creative midfield players. I think Walcott is, if he's fit and he's confident, which he will be, I think he has to play, and I think I would bring Giroud on with half hour left if it wasn't going that
absolutely.
Well,
absolutely. I think that makes sense, and maybe even if it is going well, because Giroud's he's defensively, he's very good. He holds the ball up very, very well. I was a bit worried about Arsenal's form going into the FA Cup final, but that was exactly the sort of game we needed.
Villa's form's been absolutely woeful.
Yeah.
It has.
It really has, yeah. As soon as they were safe, just down the pub, innit?
Down
the pub, lads.
I read something
job done
today that...
Hey, hey!
You're right, mate.
Sorry.
I read earlier today that Tim Sherwood was playing the goalkeeper. Is it Jed Steer?
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely Steer, his surname.
At darts.
Because he wanted to
look in the pub.
Because he wanted to look at him ahead of the FA Cup final in case he needed to use him, because I think they might have injury problems with their goalkeepers. And then everyone pointed out that Steer is actually cup tied for the cup anyway.
Oh, Timothy.
Yeah. I mean, I do keep knocking Tim Sherwood, but if Villa beat us in the FA Cup final for that reason, my life on Twitter will become hell, won't it? So I should probably
it's too late
stop
for
that, doing that.
Yeah. At Pete Donaldson. Now then, what about West Brom manager Tony Pulis? He's a part of a team that has embarked on a charity six-day non-stop row from London to Paris. I read that first as a row. And I thought, yeah, that's more like it.
He'll be rowing his way down the A3 or whatever it is.
It's a 450-mile journey described as the Everest of open water rowing, and less than 100 people have completed it. Good to see. Pulis never stops.
No. I have no doubt in my mind that Pulis is going to complete that.
Yeah. No, easy.
Yeah. It's just like, he just wants to hit something massive, like the sea, for ages.
He wants to headbutt the sea.
Yeah. Smack the sea with a couple of trees.
Yeah. What's the thing that's the most on this planet? I want to hit it.
Yeah.
There's no resistance.
Yeah, that's right. King Canute.
You'd imagine, though, if you saw Pulis on holiday, like if he was on the beach or something, he'd be sitting there hating it. Just the inactivity of it.
Until he spots that there's a one of those boxing glove amusements. At the smashing hell out of that.
Either that or he would like dig a massive hole in the sand and then just chuck kids in it.
Kid trap.
Mm. Now then, the championship playoff final happened. You were there. Pete and I were there.
We got tickets at the final, at the witching hour.
Yeah.
I tried the whole week to try and get tickets and then Marcus come up trumps.
Are you looking for a new Northeastern team that you...
Were you in the Middlesbrough fans with your North East brethren?
We were.
It was nice to... Because I'm usually... when I'm watching Newcastle, it's usually in with the home fans and, you know, at away matches. So, here in London. So, it was just nice to air my non-Geordie Teesside accent and nobody really batted an eyelid.
It's confusing to me because you've got some fairly robust views about the people in Middlesbrough normally. So, I can't believe you want to stand there with...
I don't think I have. I think you're thinking of Sunderland.
Not Middlesbrough.
Which is a genuine shithole.
Okay, I'll stand corrected.
And the people of Sunderland will agree with me on that one, I think.
Stand corrected.
But the people of Sunderland are lovely.
Hartlepool's worse.
Is it?
So, it's fine.
I like the Smoggies.
They're
a good bunch, the Middlesbrough.
Yeah, they seemed all right on the day as well. Marcus, I mean, it was before the whistle went off. You indulged on what can only be described,
dearie me,
as a piss joust.
What,
Marcus?
I don't know anything about this.
So actually... excited that you were about my, you know, revelation of a piss joust, you couldn't wait to get in a cubicle with a man doing a piss joust.
Who was the man?
Marcus, tell us everything.
Sadly, this is all true.
Set the scene. We're at Wembley.
We're in.
In the cheap seats, we're in.
We're going to...
Behind enemy lines. We made it in. You're not used to that because you're in the cheap seats. You don't know where to go.
I can't believe it.
No.
At half time, I thought, well, is someone going to bring my dinner to me?
There's two kinds of toilets. There's a big old queue for the urinal toilets.
Yes.
And then there's another block of toilets that is just cubicles. And so...
Pete and I, for some reason, were talking about your teeth.
I was saying, yeah, the people in the Northeast have strong teeth because there's a lot of fluoride in the water.
Oh, is that
right?
Okay.
And this bloke turned around and went, have you got good teeth, like? And I went, yeah, I have.
And then he proceeded to tell us his dental history.
I said, I've never had a filling. And he goes, oh, I've got a bridge here and I can't abide bad teeth, mate. And he's like really annoyed about the possibility.
In a really friendly manner.
Yeah, he was really lovely. He was really nice.
Anyway, so
big ginger bloke.
Pete went off into his cubicle. Mm. I waited. Like a civilised member of society. And this man went into a cubicle, which was a slightly bigger one, and started beckoning me to come in and join him pissing in this bowl. And I was a bit like, nah, you're all right, mate. I'll just wait a minute. He's like, no, come on. He was really keen for me to get in there.
Yeah.
Very, very seldom in my life have I ever given in to peer pressure. Mm. That was one of those moments.
So basically, out of your own politeness, out of your own crippling Britishness, you just had a piss joust.
So you shared a toilet bowl in not a large cubicle, as I recall.
When he said peer pressure, did you say pee pressure?
Kind of, yeah.
Enjoyment.
Well, yeah, so there he was. We were both weeing into the same bowl. And the conversations you have as an Englishman, you always have to comment on what's going on.
Oh, that's big. that's getting bigger.
That's
coming towards me.
So I genuinely sort of went, well, you've been storing that up, haven't you?
Don't comment on the volume. Do not comment.
Inappropriate that.
On the volume of a man's bladder.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
And then we decided to discuss the volume of urine coming out of the man's knob.
You're a savant.
You know?
Game was good, wasn't it?
That's it. This is what happens when I'm in the cheap seats. Mm. I just don't know how to act.
No.
Yeah, so I went back, told Pete this, and Pete went, "You've actually been piss jousting, haven't you?" And I thought, the shame of it.
Terrible.
Mm. Kind of liked it, though, ladies and gentlemen. Get involved if you can.
If you said to me, you two went to the football and one of you
ended up in a cubicle, yeah,
I would
yeah.
have probably put my entire mortgage on it being absolutely right as Pete Donaldson.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have even considered that it could have been Marcus.
Keep them guessing, ladies and gentlemen. Always keep them guessing. Now, yes, it wasn't a great game. Oh, well, unless you're a Norwich City
fan. It was a great opening 15 minutes if you're a Norwich fan.
It was. Those two goals. I mean, after the first goal, Middlesbrough fans were superb, as were the Norwich fans, but Middlesbrough fans, particularly beforehand, very vocal, enormous support, very loud. That first goal went in, and they did not recover.
Well, they had the stuffing knocked out of them.
Certainly by the second, it was just the level of
I can't imagine how Jonathan Woodgate felt. Like, he's a proper defender. And it was just like, I'll just have a sit down on the floor for a bit.
But they've been good at the back this season, Middlesbrough. You know, Ayala's had a good season there. Yep. But the mistake...
Norwich, of course. Well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But the mistake, you know, Jerome nipped in. And then it was kind of... Jerome just sort of went towards the goal
And he thought... Well, he was clearly looking for an option, wasn't he? But no one closed him down. He's like, you know what? I might as well just shoot here.
I might as well just put it in the near post that the keeper's left open for me.
It's like when you fluke it on FIFA.
Yeah, but they were so gutted. And even the fans... When the goal went in, you'd expected the fans to have a big old roar, but they were really quiet. And I think the Middlesbrough fans looked round because I think that's the fifth time that they've been to Wembley and the fifth time they've lost. Mm. And there was maybe an air of, oh, crap,
not
here
again.
We go.
Yeah.
And when the second one went in, they tried to raise it, but it was just too late.
I think the second half was more even, wasn't it? But Middlesbrough didn't really create anything.
I mean, Vossen had a wonderful effort off the bar after Norwich had just hit the
bar. Amazing technique
I think a number of those Middlesbrough fans, you could hear them at the end just sort of think, we didn't turn up.
Yeah.
You know,
but you cannot blame. Like, I think one of the players, when he came
to
came to the Borough fans and kind of tried to lift them a bit. It's just like, this really isn't our fucking responsibility in this crowd. Like, to sort out your lack of movement, how rigid the centre was.
If you need the crowd to get you out for a playoff final, then you're in real trouble.
I mean, it was a joke. I've never seen a team turn up, maybe apart from Newcastle's FA Cup exploits, but just turn up and just not put in any kind of performance or even look interested in, and not even look for each other. Like if someone have the ball and they would just stand there. There was no movement.
I tell you what, Norwich they had a lovely time. Mm. Two quick sucker punches, then just knocked it around and essentially took it fairly easy, considering how furious sometimes those playoff finals are.
Yeah,
and the Norwich fans sensed
this.
But there was a real sense of it, and I felt so sorry for those Middlesbrough fans, you know, travelling down in their hordes. And I don't think it was
There was talk of that Middlesbrough's preparation wasn't that great. They had some problems getting to the stadium,
and that could
have affected them a little bit, I suppose.
But again, on a playoff final day, you've got to put all of that stuff out of your head.
Especially as Middlesbrough should be taking confidence from the fact that they beat Norwich twice in the league proper. I mean, they beat a 4-0 and 1-0. I mean, and both of those, I mean, even the 1-0, from what I remember, they controlled the game. So they should have confidence from that.
I think we were talking when we were in the city myself, like Marcus sort of said, you know, you almost think that because they've been beaten a couple of times, Norwich, they've had to change their game plan. And Middlesbrough just thought, oh, well, you know, business as usual, lads, just do what we did last time. And they packed the midfield and they looked like they had a lot more width than Middlesbrough, but just the general level of not working for each other.
No ideas. Just didn't have any
sort of protection, and you know, a couple of times when it actually came off of Middlesbrough was when they lumped a ball forward high that the defenders could only header into the centre circle, if that, just simply because the it's a big old pitch at Wembley. Yeah. And, you know, you can kind of pick the ball up and have a bit of an attack, but it was a shoddy performance, really.
But Norwich were very professional.
Yeah, I think of the four teams in the playoffs, Norwich were the best, so I'm not surprised that they won it. I think Middlesbrough as well, they've had a couple of moments this season where, you know, they narrowly missed out on automatic promotion. They had chances where they could have gone top and they didn't quite take them earlier in the season. I think this has been symptomatic of their season. Mm. They've been nearly men and they're just going to have to just dust themselves off and just try and win that league outright next season.
But what about Alex Neil?
Yeah.
33 years old. He came in 17.
Like under a month.
Ridiculous. 117 of his 25 games in charge. He's been one of the managers of the season, surely. I mean,
of course.
Absolutely incredible impact
he's had.
We talk
about Eddie Howe. He's much younger than Eddie Howe.
Yeah, I know. 4 years younger than Howe. Norwich, they've been brilliant since he took charge there. And they were good. They took their two chances, bang bang, and then thought, right, control it here. Yeah. And they were absolutely brilliant. And old Dealey is back in the Prem.
Well, speaking of age, 74. What the fuck?
Yeah, she's 74 next month. She's 73.
What the fuck?
Celebrity chef.
She shares a birthday with me.
Oh, really?
Enough. Okay. Also, Jason McAteer and Paul McCartney. Happy with that.
That's some dinner party, that. I mean, you've got Dealey cooking. You've got Paul McCartney doing the music.
Yeah, and Jason McAteer providing the comic relief.
Stick to the Beatles stuff, Paul. And Jim Campbell maybe doing a bit of a stand-up set.
Craig Bellamy for me.
A drop-off in quality, but you've still got a thing.
Craig Bellamy for me.
Is it?
Yeah.
Isn't it weird that like
fine
a TV
conversation?
A TV chef is like a majority shareholder at a Premier League club.
She has been for ages.
Yeah,
they've got quite a nice lineup of celebrity fans. Norwich. You've got big Stephen Fry, of course.
Yeah, he's there all the time. He always needs a proper fan.
The fella Simon, is it Simon Thomas, the guy who presents on Sky Sports? He's a Norwich fan.
Okay.
And who else? Someone quite famous.
Alan Partridge.
No, Hugh Jackman is a Norwich
fan.
Jackman.
Oh, yes, he is. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's right.
I think his mother's from Norwich originally, or something like that.
Nice.
Cool.
So yeah, well done to the Canaries. And elsewhere in the Championship, Steve McLaren's been sacked.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably fair, isn't it? I think
only won two of the last 13 matches. He would be gutted because he's
his reputation has taken such a blow there, hasn't he? He worked so hard to build it back up. Yeah.
I think his stock is still higher than it has been.
Yeah definitely. Well, Newcastle wanted
him. He's fallen short in very, very unlucky circumstances last year, and okay, they've fallen short again this year. So on balance, you could say it's fair that he's been relieved of his duties. But that Chris Martin problem was the big problem for them. They couldn't replace him. They couldn't find a way to fill that gap when he missed those games, and that's essentially what cost them. There's no excuse though for them to finish up outside the top six this season. That was probably a failure too far.
Yeah, I do feel sorry for McLaren because he sounded absolutely gutted.
Shouldn't have turned down that Newcastle job, should he? He was Premier League manager.
He'll still be there.
Yeah.
Well, that's they sort of it sounds like they'd annoyed Newcastle by turning it down. Like, how many matches? Three matches before the end of the season. It's like, why would you do that? You have to pay a load of compensation. It just seems really weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think with McLaren, he was building up from the youth and all that kind of stuff, and the players were clearly investing in his ideas. But then that collapse at the end of the season has cost him. It's as simple as that. Mm. And you're right, Jim. Where does he go now? I think his stock, as Luke says, is probably high enough to get him a decent job. But yeah, I feel a bit sorry for older McClazza. But there we are. He's another one that's fallen away. League One playoff final. Blimey. Preston North End.
Yeah.
Back in the Championship with some aplomb. Beckford's had a great time, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Let's just reiterate this, because we said this on the live show on Friday. He's not having his contract with Bolton extended, because he's out on loan at Preston at the moment. Yeah. But 36-year-old Ardiger Johnson and 37-year-old Emil Heskey have had their contracts extended.
If I were Beckford, I'd try and force a move through to Preston now permanently.
Well, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, obviously he's a hero forever now at Preston.
Only the third player to score a hat-trick in a playoff final at Wembley, along with Scott
Clive
Sinclair.
Mendonca?
Devastating.
And Big Clivey, yeah.
Scott Sinclair is the other one, isn't he?
That's right.
Recently.
Swindon, though, it was just all
I should say that Beckford's goal-scoring record for Bolton hasn't been that good.
No, that's fair enough.
He's got more goals for Preston in like half a season on loan than he has the whole time at Bolton.
Well, he's getting a bit older, isn't he? So maybe that is his level.
Do you remember when he got that move to Everton?
Yeah.
Didn't work out.
Swindon, it all just went wrong for Swindon, didn't it? I mean, they went 1-0 down early on, and Nathan Thompson, their captain, was injured early on. And suddenly it was 2-0, and poof, that was
Preston have been a better side than Swindon this season, though.
But what about the League Two playoff final?
Yeah, there was an early injury.
That was the earliest injury I've ever seen.
Such a shame, really.
Are injuries getting earlier?
Yeah, Saunders. Yeah, taken off every 5 seconds.
I was.
Did he get the kick off? Played the ball to him. He knocked it, and that was the injury.
I think he just turned off.
He got caught, I think, in the calf. So guy took the kick off, and the opposing player closed him down quite quick. I think he might have caught in the calf, or he strained the calf. But I was just trying to think: has there ever been two more embarrassing dads on the touchline than Phil Brown and Gareth Ainsworth?
Yeah, during the penalties, they still next to each other.
Should we start a covers band?
Ainsworth's in a band, isn't he?
Is he?
Ainsworth's in a band, like quite famously. He plays guitar and sings in a band.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
They were like proper hugging and stuff. I'm like, not having that.
Well, yeah.
Lads kissing and cuddling, not having that. Vote UKIP.
Too late, Pete.
Ainsworth said the immortal line, penalties are just a lottery anyway.
Yeah. That's why you lost.
Just whenever, yeah. That's a bit like saying, you know, if the ball drops to a striker 12 yards out of goal and he's got a free shot on target, well, it's just a lottery.
Yeah. I mean, that striker can't influence that situation in any way.
No.
Just take what's coming to you. You've got no control over it.
You might as well just toss a coin. Yeah. It'd be better. It'd be more fair.
They should just do that at the start of every game.
Yeah. You
know? It was sickening the way that Wickham sort of went out because obviously 30 Wickenin. Seconds to go there, we're winning. Yeah. Friend of the Ramble,
Phil Brown,
who famous friend of Marcus and I's, who's a Wickham fan. Mm. I just saw his.
Oh yeah,
I saw his.
My friend too.
Sorry, Jim. Apologies. Peter, no.
I don't know.
He just tweeted quite late that night, and the tweet just said, "Didn't we almost have it all?" Hashtag Whitney.
I didn't enjoy the Southend goalkeeper's shenanigans.
No, he seemed like a bit of a dick.
Yeah.
It was like Tim Krull in the World Cup, but it wasn't the World Cup. And he really strikes me
as a man who thinks he's Joe Hart.
No, yeah, but I'd have that.
I quite liked his narrative. He was very unlucky to concede the own goal, just bouncing back off the post and off his back.
Yeah, but he seems a dick.
I don't think
he's probably a good keeper.
I think he's not saying Luke's saying he's not just, deserving. You
know, he's just save the winner in a playoff final. He's entitled to be a bit
shouted bastard at someone for scoring a penalty in the shootout. He shouted bastard at the goal.
He's a prick.
FA bastard. He's a referee.
Well, in the belly of the beast. Brave man.
No. He was trying to put the player off massively. Now, I don't know if the player was making gestures back to him. I doubt it. And the player put it in the corner and he tipped it onto the post, but it still went in. And he went, "Oh, you effing bastard." It's like,
that's fair enough, isn't it? Frustration.
But no, it was more
he aimed it at the man.
It was more like a couple of the players started shouting at the keeper when they scored, after they scored their penalty. He was going, you fucking dick, you seen that? It's clear that he's riled them up.
Dick, though, isn't I'm it? Sure he's, I haven't got the score in front of me, but I imagine he's probably got a clean sheet or two under his belt against Portsmouth this season. So. speaking of which, do you remember when Pirlo went up to take the penalty for Italy against England in Euro 2012, the famous Panenka?
That's right.
And that England fan behind the goal got his old chap out. Yeah. I don't think that gets mentioned enough. That you
I don't think I saw that.
It's 3 years ago now.
Yeah.
But the memories live on.
Marcus in his cubicle.
Easy.
Yeah.
We're all getting away from the big issue that Phil Brown got them promoted, and Phil Brown is already talking about having another stab at the Premier League.
Of course he is.
You have to go into League One. you don't get to choose what league you get promoted
to. I'm baking around America again.
Imagine Phil Brown going into the dressing room and saying that to his players after they won the playoff final. Well, I wonder what division we're going to get. Oh, I hope it's Premier League. No, it's League One. It has to be League One.
It's a lottery.
It's a lottery.
I prefer him going in and going, "Oh, I'm going to get a better job after
he
this."
He thinks it's like when you start a new five-a-side team and you have a game and they judge what level you're at.
Oh, yeah. You're hammering everyone 5-0 every week. Promote them three times.
Yeah, yeah.
But do you not think a penalty shootout win in a playoff final is enough for a double promotion?
They'll need a treble. They'll need a treble promotion. The lesser seen treble promotion in professional football in England.
Lovely old job. Let's go quickly to the continent. La Liga, Barcelona 2, Deportivo 2. It was Xavi's farewell, but it was a very important result for Deportivo.
Mm. Yeah,
they kept them up. 2-0 down they were.
Joy all round.
I mean, they must have feared the worst. I mean, obviously being away to Barcelona, even though they won the league, they're 2-0 down. It's Xavi's farewell, so yeah, they might take it easy, but just knock the ball around, lads, all that kind of stuff. But they got the equaliser. And
Barcelona have scored 110 league goals this season, and Real Madrid have scored 118.
That's incredible. Also,
in a 38-game season.
Sickening.
Yeah.
Thomas Vermaelen made his debut for Barcelona in that game. And if they win the Champions League, they have to give us €4 million.
Nice.
Brilliant.
That's great.
Put it on the pile.
Consolation, isn't it?
Yeah.
Consolation for your lack of a league title for how long?
Yeah. Ages.
You'll probably get a lot of Champions League finals.
Got a cup final to look forward to, though. So
genuinely go fuck yourself.
Will you have a open bus tour with the €4 million on the top there?
We won a trophy last season and are about to play in a final.
And that's the real quiz.
Oi, that money will go towards a very, very promising young French player that we don't know. Okay? Yeah. So there we are.
Well, you say very promising. Promising.
Yeah, okay. But back to La Liga. Ibar went down instead of Deportivo in their first ever season, which is a great shame for them. But Granada, they drew 2-0 with Atleti and survived. Mm. And where else?
I bought a team that everyone in Spain were getting het up about because they might not have been allowed to be promoted because they're not a big enough club. These things tend to take care of themselves, don't worry about it. Problem solved.
Let's hope it's not the same for Bournemouth.
Of course, absolutely, yeah.
Real Madrid beat Getafe 7-3. Getafe were 2-1 up at one point.
Yeah, and it was 3-0 as well, wasn't it, at one point? That was insane.
Ronaldo's 8th hat-trick of the season.
Yeah,
don't worry
standard.
About it.
Normal. Lovely.
That's 24 goals.
Yeah.
Is that 8 times the amount of hat-tricks that Mario Balotelli has goals in the league this season? Has he got one league goal?
I'm not sure.
Can't bother to check. But for the purposes of a cheap joke, I'm sticking with it.
Yes. Martin Odegaard came on. Became Madrid's youngest ever player. Well done.
Oh, was he 17?
Was he booed at all?
No, not even.
He's 16, I think.
16. No, it was quite clever, actually, because he took off Cristiano Ronaldo for him. So yeah. Ronaldo obviously got rapturous applause, and Odegaard slipped onto the field.
Is that why Ancelotti got the sack?
Definitely.
Yeah.
What are you doing playing 16-year-olds, mate?
You've lost it, Carl.
It's like we put David James up front, idiot. Yeah.
Your eyebrow's older than that.
big talk of Rafael Benitez.
Yeah. Have we just run out of big managers?
I think we've just run out of
big ticket managers. Oh, let's get one back from 10 years ago.
Because Ancelotti's saying he's taking a year off, isn't he? Because he's got a bad back.
Benitez, no, he got sacked.
Yeah, no, but now, after that.
Bad back.
Oh, I've got a bad back anyway, so
yeah. So big Sam and I going on holiday.
Harry. Yeah.
Going to go down the clinic.
I've got a bad back, sack and crack. And
to be fair, Benitez has been managing Napoli.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just saying that he's not done stellar with them. Like, he's not done incredibly well. They're not challenging, are they?
All right. Pete, what you should have done is gone, he's got a bad back, crack and he's been sacked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had the raw materials. You finished it off.
Yeah. So
I'm Jonas. Yes, <he also saw. laughs>
Good finish to the season for David Moyes.
Marcus took a piss in the cubicle. Would you?
This joust. The joust is important.
Real Sociedad.
Yeah.
The one's called La Real. Mm-hmm. Keep reading about Real in British press. Real Madrid are never referred to Real in Spain. They're referred to as Madrid.
Ah.
Yeah.
We like reading Spanish. Media United, and then referring to Newcastle United as United, when most people in England would refer to Manchester United as United.
Get people on side.
Have you got any more stories like that?
Just one from Serie A.
I know, because the Real Sociedad thing, you said that David Moyes had a good season, finish of the season. Won 2 of his last 10, so.
No, I'm just particularly the last
game.
The last game.
The last minutes of the season.
He's got a good time. He's had a lovely old time.
A lovely break.
What about Serie A, eh? Roma beat Lazio 2-1. Totti's boys secure Champions League place.
The big story coming out of Serie A, in my humblest of opinions,
yes,
is that Luca Toni has a reasonable, if not good, chance of finishing the season as top scorer in the Serie A.
That's brilliant.
At the age of 38. It's his 38th birthday today, in fact.
Oh.
And he's got 21 goals for Verona. And I think they play Juventus on the last day of the season, and Tevez has got 20. So it could be a straight shootout, but I'd love to see Tony get it.
Damn right.
Mm. Me too.
Mm. Let's go to Ligue 1 before we go to Pete's Mystery Voice game. Because Harvey Renard is back in the big leagues, everybody.
Yeah.
Well, he's back in France.
He's back in the back big in leagues.
He works explicitly in French-speaking nations, with the exception of the 2004 stint he had, I think, at Cambridge United.
That's right. Zambia, though. Are they not French? Are they English?
Pass. Is what he'll say in training.
Big Arve. Back in Ligue 1 with Lille. Lille had a disappointment this season, finishing 8th. Who do you
Lille?
Get in?
Lille won the double in 2011.
Wow.
In that season that will always be known as the season that gifted Gervinho to Arsenal.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, Divock Origi, who Liverpool have bought and then they loaned back to Lille, made a French magazine's worst team of the season.
Great.
This weekend.
Bodes well.
Mm. Yep, so Lille, I predict a double next season. Excellent. Right, now it's time for Pete's Mystery Voice game.
It is time for Pete's Mystery Voice game. Of course, last week we upped the stakes somewhat with an iPad Air 2 and also a copy of Football Manager Classic to give away. So, we won't be doing that again.
Who's won it?
For a little while.
Who's won it, Pete?
So, you know, you had your one.
Who's won it?
Well, all right, I'll get to it.
I'm fucking incredible with it, yeah?
But this is the game.
Jesus Christ.
I know. To be fair, he didn't know it was coming.
No, he's not
prepared. It's a lottery, isn't it?
It's a lottery. It's a lottery, mate. Yeah. So three people got it right.
Come together to be in charge of the football club.
And thank you to the computers here in the studio that has just crashed. So I can't let you know who else got it right, but Liam O'Shaughnessy. Got it right, and he was first. Ex-Everton's Barry Horn.
Barry Horn.
So congratulations to Liam. Send us your address, Liam. I can't be asked to reply to your email because I can't. My computer's frozen. We'll be sending you out an iPad Air 2 and a copy of Football Manager Classic.
Is your computer frozen forever?
I don't know. Hopefully not.
I've got a question, an admin question. Perhaps you guys can answer. Did Barry Horn also play for Sheffield Wednesday? I think he might have
possibly.
Done. I think he might have done. Yeah. Well, it's good to get a reminder of the big man. Anyway,
that's right. Pete, what have we got this week?
Well, we've got this, Marcus.
Cos they play in red and white and the fucking dynamite and we'll support the border evermore.
And if you know who that is, voice at thefootballramble.com.
Traditionally, the mystery voice week with the lowest return of applicants because they know they're not going to get a prize.
Well, no, but Liam is not a friend of the Football Ramble because that wasn't the prize.
No, it's true.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Liam's got to go somewhere
so
to be friend
ways,
of the Ramble.
He's the big loser of the week.
Yeah. That's right.
So, oh, wait, look, I can get it now. It unfroze itself. Joe Bird is friend of the Ramble and Ricky Lee Williams is as well.
So well done, you guys.
Well done, Ricky Lee.
You shouldn't have said that. They'll be gutted that they they didn't win the iPad, which is a much better prize.
He actually had two cracks at it, Ricky Lee. He said Dean Saunders, and
then he changed. Whoa. Is that allowed?
I don't think it is, actually.
He's an acquaintance of the Ramble.
Right, okay. He's been downgraded.
He's a country music singer as well.
Yeah. Ricky Lee Williams.
Sounds like he should be.
He's on nodding terms with the Ramble.
Yeah. Barbie, no.
Now it's time for a website roundup with Luke Moore.
With me as the mouthpiece for the always excellent Kelly Wells.
Oh, she's got her own mouth.
Let's call it as it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sexist.
Kelly has been in touch with a correspondent saying on the all killer, no pisser Football Ramble website this week, Dealey gets tired and emotional near a microphone again. Yuri Geller offers to help Newcastle, does a better job than John Carver. Photographic evidence that Xavi is an even better bloke than we all thought. And finally, no one asked for it, but footballers come up with a riposte to Justin Timberlake's dick in a box skit with cock in a cup.
That is
a blast from the past. And Kelly also says she'll be in and around the site all summer and they can email her with any interesting info, otherwise known as doing her job for her.
Lovely.
What a beauty.
Something we could all get behind.
That's right. Yeah. Kelly's really getting involved in the Ramble spirit.
Speaking of which, just highlights of the week.
Go on, Ed.
Do you want to officially introduce it?
That's fair. Yeah, let's do an ounce of something to do that. Now it's time for the highlights of the week with Luke Moore.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Hello.
Let's get straight into it. Liam Dacey says, a god amongst men scoring what could be his farewell goal in a roller coaster season. No, not Stevie G. It's all about Esteban.
Yeah.
Esteban Cambiaso, of course. Kenny Munro says, finishing a less than creditable 754th in the official Football Ramble Fantasy League, just to make sure there was no chance of qualifying for the Europa League next season. And I should say, I couldn't find you three. Because there's too many teams, isn't it?
Right.
But I came 962nd, but Asa Smith, with his side named Gaston Ramirez's dad, won the Football Ramble League. And I think it's got over 2,000 teams.
I think it's over 4,000.
Wow. Yeah, so no mean achievements. So well done, Asa. Gregor Lauder says, the Preston fan who decided taking candy from a baby was too easy, so instead took on the slightly more difficult task of wrestling Jermaine Beckford's shirt from an 8-year-old before trying to flog it online for £1,500.
Yeah, it's an absolute
all
disgrace.
All a bit seedy, that,
classy,
isn't it?
Yeah. Classy.
Apparently, she's come out and said she knows the family and her side of the story will come out. It's all a bit grim.
Yeah. I think it's a disgrace.
Well, she's been interviewed by, like, the Daily Mirror. Just say it then.
Yeah. Exactly.
Just literally, you've got the best mouthpiece you can get.
Russ Loughton says, I checked in at the Ramble live show on Facebook last week, complete with photo, and got a grand total of no likes and no comments. Hashtag, that's a dig. What else have we got here? I really like this one. This is from Ewan Dewar. He says, go on, Marcus, have you got something to say?
I finished 361st.
Well done. That's not bad.
I'm just looking now.
Sorry, yeah. Luke, to interrupt.
Are we doing
you
this now? Are we going to interrupt Ewan Dewar's excellent piece of crap?
Let's finish Ewan Dewar.
Sorry, mate.
His name rhymes. You can't be unhappy with that. He says, this week I learned that Alex Neil is 4 years younger than Eddie Howe, although he looks like he's older than war. Older than war.
War's been around for ages.
That's good.
Oh, James like Kidd. He was the man who gave me the information re Jed Steer, saying that Jed Steer is cup tied for the FA Cup final anyway, so he deserves credit for that. Thanks for that, James. And Colm Campbell, this is a good one. This slipped under the radar.
Ooh.
He said Celtic this week had agents, yes, actual agents, on the pitch with the players doing the lap of honour.
Oh,
that is going too far.
Yeah, that's terrible.
And that's just about it from me.
What did everyone else get in the league?
361st.
Right, what did you get, Luke?
962nd.
1,991.
Wow.
Wow.
Not even in the top 1,000.
No. Well, the thing with Fantasy League, you do it at the start, and then you just, can't be arsed.
Yeah. I'm not sure I even did it at the start.
So. you probably came last then.
Yeah.
I'm can't be arse or.
What about a highlight from Turkey Gym? Fenerbahce, you enjoyed that?
This is, I don't know if enjoyed is the right word, but you've got the details, so fill us in.
Four players sent off. There were 2-0 down with 10 minutes to go. and they needed to win to have a chance of still keeping up with Galatasaray in the league showdown.
All or nothing.
Yes, that's right. They equalised with, well, they pulled one back, and then they had a man sent off, and then they equalised with a couple of minutes to go through Webbo.
Yeah.
And then they
poured
men forward, but they got caught on the break. Mm. So Bruno Alves, I think he...
Bruno Alves.
I didn't actually see this, but he was sent off for elbowing a player. I think it must have been denying a goal-scoring opportunity.
Or then elbowing someone.
Do you remember when Portugal conceded the penalty against France in the semi-final of the European Championships in 2000, I think it was? And they knew the game was up. Abel Xavier handled it.
Yeah.
And they thought, Zidane's not going to miss. We're going to go down a blaze of glory. Yeah. So they're three men sent off. That's basically what happened here. So Bruno Alves elbowed the man, sent off. Another man sent off for dissent. The penalty was missed, though.
Right.
Quite funnily enough. And then Webbo booted someone in the head. He got sent off as well.
Properly in the face, though. I mean,
it was a high foot
for a high ball. But he ignored the fact that there was a face between his foot and the ball.
Yeah, incredible. But of course, my highlight of the week was the live show that we did at Bloomsbury Theatre in London.
Thank you for coming down.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much for coming down. It was
marvellous stuff.
If you want to pick it up, it will be going online at some point. I'll let you know.
Some point soon.
Just check out the Twitter.com/TheFootballRamble. No, Football Ramble. Football Ramble.
Do check it out as well. You might be thinking, oh, it'll be out of date. Oh, timeless comedy.
Timeless. I'm looking at my...
and then we came on.
Hey!
I'm looking at my fantasy football team. Do you want to see what the problem was with mine?
Yeah, go on then.
Tim Howard in goal. Paul Dummett at the back. Playing a three at the back. Delaney. Terry. So, you know,
have you not
Terry.
Changed your teams at the start of the season?
No. Chesney was on the bench, so it was clearly the first weekend. I don't know what was happening. Cabela in the middle, at Riviere up front.
That's excellent, man.
Borny, Lukaku, Cazorla.
I think that's just John Carver's team sheet.
Yeah. Snodgrass.
There you are.
Baines. Lovely.
Snodgrass injured.
Yeah.
The whole season out.
Good.
Brilliant. Fantastic stuff.
Done well, haven't I?
I think that's the end of it.
How many more weeks have we got left of this nonsense till we finish?
Is it three more shows?
Two or three.
We'll work it out and we'll let you know in due course. But yes, watch out for that live show, ladies and gentlemen. We did talk about Turkish football a little bit in the live show as well. That's worth a punt. So there we are. Right, if you want to get in touch, the email address is show at thefootballramble.com. The Twitter is at footballramble. And the website where the always excellent Kelly Wales operates is thefootballramble.com. Say goodbye, Jim.
Remini.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye, everyone.
And it's goodbye from me.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.